country of Turkey is located between the continents of Europe and Asia, bordered by Greece, the Aegean Sea, the Black Sea, Georgia, Armenia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and the Mediterranean Sea. The culture is largely influenced by the ancient Greek, Persian, Roman, Byzantine, and Ottoman empires. Turks are especially known for their food and also their hospitality, which is central to the Islamic faith. The population of Turkey is 99% Muslim, though many are very nominal believers. Following World War I, the territories that made up the Ottoman Empire were divided into several new states, and in 1923, Mustafa Kemal became the first president of the newly recognized Republic of Turkey. He implemented many political, economic, and cultural reforms that brought Turkey into the modern age of the 20th century. He was granted the title Atatürk, which means Father of the Turks, and is still greatly revered today. One of Atatürk's main goals was to make Turkey a completely secular nation without any official state religion. This is still the case today. However, in recent years, the country's leaders have been promoting the traditional Islamic practices, calling the people back to their heritage and their roots. Much of our early Christian history takes place in Turkey, but the significance of this is lost on the people who live there today. During the missionary journeys, Paul crossed through the modern cities of Ephesus, Antalya, Perge, and Antioch. The seven churches of Revelation are also located in Turkey. Turkey is home to many unique landscapes, as well as man-made and natural wonders. One of these natural wonders is the landscape of Cappadocia, which was formed by years of volcanic eruptions. The tallest peak, Mount Ersayes, will be the first thing you see when you exit the airport. All around the region, you'll find cave houses originally carved into the soft volcanic rock by the Hittites around 1200 BC. The early Christians also lived in some of these cave cities to escape persecution from the Roman government. Of course, the best way to see Cappadocia is by hot air balloon, so you can see all the varieties of landscapes and layers of rock from the best vantage point. Another well-known point in Turkey is the Bosphorus Strait, which is the body of water that divides the continents of Europe and Asia. This strait runs right through the city of Istanbul, making it the only city in the world to sit on two continents. There are several ferries that carry people across on their daily commute or on sightseeing tours. Istanbul is a center for world business and travel and hosts over 10 million foreign tourists each year. In Istanbul, you can explore churches, palaces, mosques, and bazaars, see ancient Egyptian relics, and try all varieties of traditional Turkish food and drinks. See the Old Testament through the eyes of 2017. Recognize the seven churches of Revelation. Culture, food, hospitality, wondrous landscapes viewed from on high via a hot air balloon. What an exciting background on which to spread God's word.
I'm in New York right now, so I'm missing the Turkey report back, but I would like to tell you a little bit about this trip and how it went. The kids ministry went really well, just the VBS and working with all the different age groups, and the language barrier didn't really affect it too much. It did show up some, but the kids really enjoyed just singing the songs and learning, and I think the fellowship, and it was pretty cool just seeing God's favor in how we prayed and how specifically He answered those prayers. And it was encouraging and helped us to pray more specifically. And I think it just grew our faith. And the expectations I had of going out of country were different than the realities because I had never done it before. So I didn't know what to expect. So I didn't really expect too much different than a normal trip, but the fear of going out of country didn't really come till after, because I didn't know what to fear and I didn't really think there was anything to be afraid of.
Amen.
But then when I was out of country, it was like kind of like I felt so far away, but it was pretty awesome just having such a great team with me all the time. It helped, and we were able to do this together, and team unity was super important, and just knowing that it'll be hard to get along with each other helped us be patient, and so we didn't have as many problems as I expected. I don't know why I expected to have problems, because we have so many awesome people on the team, but everything went super well, and the kids really enjoyed us and reached out to us. They got along with us really well. I wasn't sure if they would be shy or not, because they had never met me before. There was some on the team had seen them the previous year, but like they were pretty little then, and I wasn't sure what that would be like. But they really loved us and really sang those songs and did the motions and really cared, and they were really a joy to work with. And they learned a lot and really enjoyed this VBS, and that was super cool. Just everything in this trip has taught me just boldness, I think, but mostly just faith and knowing that praying that the Lord would go before me meant He will go before me, and I just Amen. Saw how much the Lord really loved me and this team, and I think faith was the biggest thing I learned on this trip.
Hi, I'm Emily, and I couldn't make it tonight to the report back because I'm in Ireland visiting some friends there. So I'm going to talk about just kind of an overview of our VBS program that we did in Turkey. Our theme was the same one that we did at our VBS here at Calvary Chapel, and so it was called Operation Arctic, and the theme was exploring the coolest book on the planet. It was all about exploring God's Word and learning the message of salvation that is in God's Word. We had a really good time with the kids. It was a lot of work, but we had some highlights that I noticed about the program. The first highlight was in the beginning and the end of each day's program, we had a lot of time to do some worship songs with the kids. And so we had music videos that had really good worship songs and hand motions, and we could tell that the kids really enjoyed that time, and it was just really cool for me to hear them singing out and praising God. You could even hear their voices above the loud music, and that was just really a beautiful thing to hear and really encouraging. A second highlight from our kids program was how quickly we were able to get to know the kids and build relationships with them, and how quickly they became comfortable with us. And it was something our whole team noticed kind of from day one, and it was something that we know God did, and that was really a blessing to us and hopefully to the kids and their parents as well. And something that God taught me in Turkey was to just keep my focus on Christ, even in all the busyness and all the hard work, to let the gospel and what Christ has done for me overflow, and let that be my motivation for serving others and glorifying God, rather than just worrying about the task so much, but focusing on Christ. Overall, we had an amazing time in Turkey, and I just want to thank all of you back in Calvary Chapel, Sarasota, for all your prayer and your encouragement and support throughout the whole time.
All right. Yeah, thanks for those lights. Well, the team, come on up. Those of you who are live and in person, come on up. Justin will need the mic. Awesome, already done. So, wow, that's the first time I seen on purpose those videos that Justin put together, and we knew we were getting some awesome footage and photos there, and actually seeing Sarah and Emily shared, I thought it's already touched me, and I was there. So I hope we can just drop a little bit on you tonight of what those two amazing weeks were like, and also effectively say, like they already have, that you were and are a part of that. I hope you feel that. I hope you know that's real. It's a different way. I hope you're jealous that, you know, you didn't get to be on site. That's okay too. We'll leave you a little bit of that. But we're just going to roll here, and because I'm going to be surprised a little bit right along with you. So, Justin, some of them are going to talk about the groups that they led, and then other aspects of the trip. We tried to do it so we wouldn't just, you know, all say the same thing. So, Justin, you were with the teens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, me and Emily Burke on the screen, and Luann, who's going to be on the screen in a few minutes, were responsible for the group that was age 11 to 17. So. Pretty much teenagers.
I guess I could.
It was a lot of fun. It was very fascinating to get to know these kids. It was like a really unique group of kids. They were born in countries all over the world, and then currently most of them live in different countries all over the world for the purpose of their parents being missionaries to hard to reach places. Lots of them know three or more languages, which super humbling. I know English, and that's it. But they were all as smart as they were, and like just like super intelligent and knowing like tons of history and stuff. They were just still super fun, like normal teenagers, and weren't much different than my friends here, which was cool. Each day with these kids, we had a time just to get to know each other. Whether it was like sharing testimonies or just chatting or whatever. Then we would play a game. That was fun. We'd have a time of teaching and then a craft. Then that's kind of what the 4 days of VBS looked like for that group. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't a perfect by-the-book schedule each day, but that was okay. And we had a lot of fun. One of the nights, a student was asked to share in front of like the parents during their conference. A student was asked to share their favorite part of the VBS just to like give the parents an idea of like what we were doing. Like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? And so one of the kids from our group, they said that their favorite part was oh jeez. Didn't anticipate that. They said their favorite part was just like hanging out with us outside of VBS, which is funny. Like their favorite part of VBS was not VBS. That's okay. It was just this idea though was really interesting to me, and it really got me thinking. Like basically, we flew from America to Turkey to do this VBS, and their favorite part of it was just like the fact that we were friends with them. It got me thinking just a lot about friendship, just as a concept, I guess. Like we had some pretty awesome games and some pretty awesome crafts. Emily and Luann led the crafts. We had some pretty okay teachings. But what stuck out to these kids was like just simple friendship. Like that's what they could have said anything to their parents, and that's what stuck out to them. I think I have underestimated just the real impact of simply being a friend to someone. This also got me thinking about my relationship with God. So in my past, the God that I wanted was a God who would show up when like I needed help with something. I just like, I'm going through a hard time. Now's a good time to ask God for help and like need him. Or maybe God would show up to teach me something I didn't know. Or he would show up when I did something wrong. Like, all right, now I have to go to God now that I messed this situation up or whatever. Or on the flip side, maybe I would go to him. Like, this is the God that I thought I wanted. Like, I would go to him on Sundays or go to him, like, when I would have my devotions or something. And that's, like, those would be, like, our interactions, you know? Like, he would be teaching me, instructing me, all these, like, important things that we need in our lives. But just this kid's comment really got me thinking and realizing, like, that God that I wanted isn't Jesus. Jesus calls us friends. He doesn't just show up when we need help or show up when we meet him on Sundays. John 15:15, it says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. So Jesus never leaves us. He doesn't just show up to teach us. He eats meals with us. He hangs out with us. He talks with us when we're failing or when we're succeeding. He's always there. Proverbs 18:24, it says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm thankful to have Jesus as that friend, and just also thankful and just super humbled now by this opportunity just to be a friend to those kids in Turkey and any of my friends here. So that's what I learned in Turkey.
Okay, I don't have much to say about just the trip, but during the first week when we were in Cappadocia doing the kids program, I was with the 7 to 10-year-olds, and that was like really exciting for me to find out that that was the group I was going to be with, because I think that was like a really good age for VBS. Like, they're old enough to understand and be involved in it, and they're still young enough to like have a good time and just like be honest about everything. And my favorite thing was just, I went there thinking I was going to teach and encourage them, and they ended up teaching and encouraging me a lot. And just to see how excited they were to talk about Jesus with other peers was so refreshing for me, because they really exceeded my expectations every day. I just didn't think that I was going to go in there and see them all like raising their hands and so excited to talk about it, but they really were. They were so involved in it, and that was really my favorite thing to see.
So I was with the 4 to 6-year-olds along with Mr. Burke and Hannah. And so the 4 to 6-year-olds, I kind of was thinking that they would just be like any 4 to 6-year-olds, not really pay much attention or anything. But I was quite impressed with them. Many of the kids like knew a lot more than I thought they would. And from like the beginning of the conference, there were a few kids who just like really loved us and loved to hang out with us and all. And there were a couple kids who were somewhat difficult. One kid pretended he didn't know English. But by the end of the week, all the kids who had been difficult in the beginning of the week were all like, they listened to us and they wanted to play or do the games and all that with us. And I think they really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Megan and I did the babies and the toddlers, and she's going to talk more about that. What I wanted to talk about was the opportunity that we and a team had to serve missionaries who are out in the field in very difficult and sometimes dangerous ministries. Those are the sort of trips that God seems to have led me to. In South Sudan, I teach chaplains, and Guatemala, I've taught at pastors' conferences. So it's serving those who are out in the field doing things 500 times more difficult and dangerous than I've ever been called on to do. And that is really quite an honor and a blessing to be able to do that. And I had one long-term missionary tell us that what we did as a team in Turkey, watching the kids and doing something productive with them so that the parents were free to be at the conference and get fellowship and teaching and counseling and prayer and all of that from each other, might in several cases add any number of years to the amount of time they could stay in the field. And that's really just awesome what God can do when you just go where he points you to. So anybody here, if you've never been on a short-term mission trip and you have a chance to go, if you're convinced you don't have the right gifts to go on a trip, you're wrong. Just go. And God will do amazing things through you.
Yeah, so like Tim said, he and I had the nursery group, which was 0 to 3. And, you know, our group went a little bit differently than the others. We didn't do necessarily a formal Bible lesson or crafts. We kind of just got to play with Play-Doh, which was fine. You know, nursery can always be a challenging group for different reasons, but this situation was even a little bit more different because, of course, you know, the kids don't know us at all, but also they're not used to being dropped off or left with anyone besides their parents. Our kids here get at least somewhat used to the Sunday morning drop-off and going to Sunday school, but these families most likely aren't going to any kind of church fellowship because there isn't one. That's the whole reason that they're there. So these kids have no concept of that, of being just dropped off with these strangers for a couple hours, and the parents don't either. You know, despite making several runs a day to find parents and things like that, it really was great to see the couple of kids who were excited to come each day. And even like Calvin was kind of saying, it does get better throughout the week. Like there was a few kids who you could see very clearly each day. It was a little bit easier and a little bit easier to stay. And then on Friday, it's great. Everyone's happy. We're excited. No one's crying. And then it's time to say goodbye. So, but that's how things go. And so overall, I mean, it was just really cool to see how clearly God used our team to be able to free up the parents to participate in the conference. I felt really privileged to be able to participate in that. You know, even though the work that they do in sharing the gospels in these really difficult areas is so exciting, things like this are a really good reminder that it's also, you have to prioritize your family and see that they're taken care of physically and spiritually, and especially with the work that I'm involved in with Global Serve and getting ready to go overseas full-time next year. It was, I think, especially helpful and encouraging to be able to see these families like living that out and be able to learn from their example.
Before the conference even started, Sandra, who oversaw and organized the conference, gave my husband and I some words of wisdom, which were really helpful. She gave us a little insight into the difference in how Asian parents raise their children and how American parents raise their children. And that was very eye-opening because you can see a child and you can see a behavior, but you might not understand that behavior unless you understand a little bit of the culture. So that helped us tremendously. We did have one child who was a little bit difficult. He was in my group, and he was a little bit difficult for me, and I realized he was a little challenging for everyone else as well. So every time that mother came and picked up that child, we had, you know, just a small conference about things that happened that day. And by about the fourth conference, she said, could you teach me to have him obey? And I was like, I would love to. That sounds wonderful. So, but I realized that was more than just a 5-minute drop off and pick up conference. So I said, how about tomorrow we get together in the afternoon? And so I told the team and they said, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, I have no idea. But, you know, I knew that the Lord would give me the words that I needed to share with this mom. So I had that great opportunity to sit with her and speak with her. And there were, I don't know how many hundred people there, but this one lady I hope to have made a difference with her personally. And that was a blessing to myself as well, to realize, you know, we do make a difference, even if it's for one person. I don't know who she's going to, you know, reach out to and how she's going to impact others. So that was, you know, a blessing to myself and a blessing to her. So, and if you all can just keep her and her son in prayer, that would be great. They could use it. Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a break from the live and in-persons here in just a moment and watch Luann. Everyone here had a little topic, but I didn't give Luann a topic. I think you know that, right? Wouldn't have to. But anyhow, I do want to say at this point before we hear from Hannah and Ryan, it really was a joy with this team. And maybe it's going to sound, you know, patronizing or something. Half of them were my family, right? So, you know. I love you guys, of course, all my ladies, but really everyone, and everyone who sat, your families with me, I can really say it really clicked. They worked hard. All right, we did a 100-person VBS with 12 people, and the nursery could have used, you know, more. So just, you know, all those little things and the, you know, so, but anyway, I just, you know, we had team devos that took us deep, you know, real things kind of come out, that the schedule was, you know, Justin had that little qualifier in the video, right, that said, you know, names and faces and places we kind of can't say. So you don't think we did anything but eat and hot air balloon ride, you know, if we only watched that. But hopefully you've heard the impact of their ministry. But I just want to thank you guys one formal time in front of everyone. Just thank you for really stepping up from the moment of prayer and preparation and planning all the way through. And I might not be the easiest one to go on a trip with. I'll admit that. But when we go, we're ready. And this gang was ready. And I really, 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 really thank you all very much. So now we're going to listen from Luann. It is a very good. It's a brief for sure. And you're going to love the ending. So just stay tuned.
Hey, Calvary Chapel family. I'm in Istanbul, and I want to just thank God and thank you for your prayers, your support, for the things that the Lord did through this incredible team that came here to do children's ministry and some outreach here and learn about the ministries here. And as you guys know, I've been coming to this country that I love for about 30 years, and I am just so grateful for the team just being here, supporting me, getting a chance for me to show them around this beautiful country, which is very, very historic and interesting and beautiful, but desperately needs the Lord, as it is 99% Muslim. And at any rate, I'm really grateful for all of your prayers. Most of you know my mom passed away and went to be with the Lord about a month ago, and so I was very excited to see what this team would be able to do. And I'm just so grateful to God. You know, He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. So you're really part of the team who is reaching out. And I just came off the street ministry, you know, like a few hours ago. We were out on the streets doing music, sharing the gospel. So I just want to thank you so much for, I'm so grateful for being in this church. This church is getting known around the world for being a church that cares about what God is doing. Signing off with all the boats honking their horns. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. I was here. I did not script that. So, Hannah.
So I'm going to be talking about our last few days in Istanbul. This was towards the end of our trip, and we got to stay in a fairly nice hostel. It was a lot better than I had expected, a lot better than the previous years. On Sunday, we went to the Coot Church, and we were able to do kids ministry there, and we took things from our VBS the week prior and were able to use it over there. And so that was cool that we got the videos to work, everything, like all the systems are different. So it's cool that we got that to work. And there was a pretty good turnout. They weren't sure how many kids were going to come since it's over the summer, but there was actually a really good turnout. So it's cool to be able to pour into the kids' lives there. Following church, we went out to lunch with Pastor Mike Platt and his family. And that was really fun. We got like traditional Turkish food. It was like really big plates of food. And Dad was very excited about the large bread that they gave us there. He kept talking about it until we finally got it. but it was really good. The following day, we went to the BCC, which is the Bible Correspondence Course. And we were able to just serve there, just doing practical things like inventory and organization. But it was cool to learn, like, the history of it and just to help them out there and just see what Luann does there as well, because that's something she's really involved with and passionate about. So that was really cool. We got to do a lot of, like, sightseeing. This was more, like, a little more relaxed than the previous week doing the VBS, which was, like, every day, and it was nonstop. But we got to visit the Blue Mosque, which is one of the most famous mosques. And also, we got to walk around the Hagia Sophia, which was really cool, just a lot of historic sites, and we got to be tourists, and it was just a nice, relaxing way to end the trip, but also still ministering there.
Yeah, so I'm Ryan, and I'm here to talk about the BCC and what they do. So one of the heartbreaking things, I guess, that God opened up my eyes to while we were there is that even though Turkey is part of the modern world and isn't the government isn't officially Islamic, still only less than 0.2% of the people there are Christian, and there are regions in Turkey where there's no churches and not even any known believers live there. And so there are millions of people that die there that have never heard the gospel and never knew that there is a way they could have been saved. And the BCC realized that back in 1962 and started their ministry there, which is one of the oldest and one of the only evangelical networks in the country. They work to provide Turkey with Bibles, specifically the New Testament, and study materials for Christians that have no way of coming about these materials through any other way. And for a while, it kind of started as an underground operation since the land was hostile to Christians, but in the late 80s, something happened that nobody really ever expected would happen. They started to be able to print ads in newspapers and magazines and really come to a new level of openness that nobody thought would have been possible ever. And since then, has really grown into an influential force for Christendom in the area. As now today, 55% of all believers in Turkey attribute some part of their journey to Christ to the BCC. And in the last 15 years, 200,000 people have contacted the BCC to receive New Testament or other study materials. And so that was really encouraging and amazing to see people do that. So,
It's a significant ministry there, and it's a privilege to partner in any way that we can. But just a real quick thing about OM's history, Operation Mobilization. We've had George Verwer here in this church at least three times over the years here. And I always love George because he comes in, it's like, you know, clean up aisle four. You know, he leaves a mess, but it's a good mess. He's written the book Messiology. He understands all that stuff. They celebrated their 60-year anniversary this whole year, and they had a little 60th-year celebration that we took a very, very, very small part in. They were very gracious to us, kind of told us on purpose to shut down the kids program, come on in. They wanted, because they really wanted this conference to be for that part of the conference to be for the families, because they serve and live and work and, you know, as a family, and they wanted everyone in there. And it was such a blessing just to get a glimpse of that 60th anniversary. But I can really recommend anything OM to you. I mean, honestly, anything OM is doing, you can go. OM ships, George will invite you to those. Short-term, mid-term, that's a year or two, by the way, similar to what my Emily did and Sadie Fox left for a year or so ago. And even long-term, they need long-term workers. Again, also, and OM, we went there to serve with what was called OM WACA. It sounds kind of funny, right? Not Waco like Texas, but WACA stands for Western and Central Asia. So it serves a whole lot more than that. I know some of this, if you've been in tune, I've said some of this before, so I'm really going to just skip, you know, bullet point this stuff, but to remind us there. And we went to serve at what was called the Silk Road Oasis. And the Silk Road was the old trade routes, just like you would read about in history books, right? The Silk Road coming up from the Orient and into Europe and Asia came all through there. And of course, all the seven churches mentioned in the Revelation are in Turkey, right? It's not Jerusalem. It's not Israel. It's not any, what else we would think is the Holy Land. They're all those biblical sites are actually in modern day Turkey. And so, but that's, we went there to support that conference, and Tim and Megan and Kelly, they all actually touched on it, right? But just serving those that are sent was such a great mission, a great task for us. It really, really was a great privilege, and we just pray that it's multiplied. But Sandra, you heard her name mentioned a few times, Sandra M, her last initial, and actually her 18-year-old daughter, Anna Lee, she was from South Africa. married to a German, so I think they're basically German citizens, but living and serving in Turkey and Central Asia for over 20 years. Her husband actually had a real significant role in getting the ship's ministry up and going, so a long history of OM. I think Anna Lee, when she left there, of helping her, she was an 18-year-old gal, by the way, helping her mom run this conference. So she was kind of our contact back and forth before we went, and she just did an incredible job. I mean, so without her here, I'm just saying thank you to her. But and their daughter, Anna Lee, was going on to go to the ship's ministry. That was her kind of next stop. And so just a real, real special family that I hadn't met before. I hadn't met my other previous two times there. So just an incredible organized. She even joked about it, right? When we had one meeting and she came a few minutes early to it. She says, "I'm German. What can I say?" You know. So it was really awesome. And so maybe you see why I liked working with her some. But we also took part, again, I mentioned just briefly, that worship and prayer night. Also, I kind of snuck in one night when I probably should have been doing something else. But I snuck into one of their worship and prayer nights, and they'd actually worked on one of the things they worked on. They had workshops and things. It was kind of like a half conference, half retreat for them. And I went up one day, and they were actually doing it. They had a choir. So one of the workshops was choir. And so they just basically practice a song that they end up doing at the closing session, or ceremony, more like a closing session, I guess. And it was just an incredible choral piece at this, I don't know, it was like probably 40 to 50 people in this choir. And I don't even remember the song they sang. Actually, I did record it, but it was just incredible to hear all those voices, to see all those different faces from all those different places around and singing. And that's the kind of thing I can't show you. I'm sorry. You know, you got to go. You got to go to meet those very special people indeed. So I like to kind of spend a minute talking about, you know, what does our futures hold? We already talked about 60 years of OM's history. But we've got over a 20, you know, plus year partnership with them in some form or another. I pray that's growing. We also met Pastor Rashid and Gomera. They serve with Family Life Ministries and Campus Crusade for Life over there. We met them for all of 5 minutes in the airport. They actually met us in the took time out of their time to meet us in the airport on our way out. They've been to our church before. Hope to spend more time with them another time. But the BCC in Turkey, David Bile, you'll be hearing about him on a video in a moment. Of course, Luann is staying there. Okay, she's there through December. I think she's actually been promised her residency permit, which is like a 9-month deal, I think. Maybe 12 months or more. But anyhow, she was, right now the plans are to come back around December time. So keep her in prayer. We have more than a few precious friendships now in not only Turkey, but across Central Asia. And we actually had Tipu here last week, and I'm honestly not trying to blur these lines on purpose, but Tipu is serving with an agency called InterServe, but he actually had an integral part in starting to work in Kazakhstan with OM over 20 years ago. I talked to a guy at the conference that knew Tipu back then, and him and this one other guy were basically responsible for the beginnings of the work in Kazakhstan over 20 years ago, and it's incredible a connection that we have there. Then, of course, GSI, Global Serve. You heard one mention of it tonight. Next week, they're having an orientation here. We're hosting their orientation for all their new workers heading to the field right here all week, and they'll be sharing next Wednesday. We got more connections to Central Asia. If you're here and blessed, I heard Greg teach this past weekend. You just got a hint of what, you know, the church is doing, you know, in that area there and through Global Serve. So our futures are rich with opportunities, I guess, if we'll take them, right? Pastor Carl, you know, so I ask, what is our response? Pastor Carl will always say, you know, what's your so what? You know, we want to be blessed, you know, so that, right? So that God will push us out, you know, and Tipu in his message last Wednesday, you know, he talked about expect the unexpected and to choose the hard and most difficult, right? Not a message you hear too often. Then Greg on the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2 this very week, he talked about how things change and the unexpected comes, right? And where Acts 2:11, where they just heard the magnificent acts of God, and there was an outpouring of response there when the first gospel message was preached, and Peter didn't soft pedal the gospel, did he? And that's why I know you're going to love David Bile when we hear. And Greg also talked about a fellowshipping church you know, having that common participation in God. That's what fellowship really is. All right, it's more than just sharing a meal together. Okay, that's great. I think it's great when it's a part of that. But the goal is to push one another forward in things that matter. And I love that. I don't know. I listened to Greg 3 times. I'm not sure which message he said that in, right? But that common participation in God and push one another forward in things that matter, all right? Gospel things, the things of discipleship, true discipleship, real learning and growing. And understanding that that gospel is to be proclaimed, you know, whether it's street preaching or the pulpit ministry or something, we need to proclaim the gospel. And so with that, I know my time is up more than up.